Like to invite the next speaker, Monsieur Geraldo Eugenio Di Franca. Mr. Eugenio Di Franca is an agricultural engineer and executive director of the Brazilian Agricultural Research Corporation. Commonly, it's EMBRAPA, it is called. He is head of the Research and Development Department, a member of the Chamber on Sugar, Cane, and Ethanol, Ministry of Agriculture, Brazil, and researcher at IPA. His research activities focus on cereal breeding and vegetable breeding. Please join me in welcoming Mr. Eugenio Di Franca.
Good morning to everybody. First, let me say thanks for the organizers of the conference to allow us to be here and discuss this issue with you. And I'm going to share with you our experience in Brazil. And I would like also to share with many friends that come here from the developing countries the things that you have done in Brazil in the last, let me say, 20 to 30 years in order to help the global food security. First, some of the speakers already talked about the impact of the biofuel production on the food price. Dr. Dim showed some data, and it's for me, it was a good excuse, but it is not, in fact, the one. The impact of the biofuel production on price in food in the last 2 years, in fact, was minimal. And we have to have quite a few other reasons on why the price went so high, and now it's coming, in fact, for the things. The other thing that many people already talked here about was, in fact, the population growth. And if you come to this table, to this graph, we see that in the next years, where we have, in fact, some more people, particularly, are in the developing countries. And so, in most of the cases, in fact, in the poor countries and the poor areas. And also, we have to see that are on those countries, in those regions, where we will be having higher demand for food, for grains, for meat, for fruits, vegetables. And so, one thing that the developed countries have to see is that we are producing, in this case, grains, almost for the consumption. And I agree with some people that came here and said that the countries don't trust any other. And if the countries do not trust any other, it is better for the developing country to open the eyes, start to have sound agriculture policies in order to produce enough staple food for its population. The countries cannot expect that a second, a third country will in fact grow the maize, rice, beans, and the other cereals to feed itself. And I'd like to make the point that we have countries that probably have trouble to produce in fact enough food. But in most of the cases, that's not true. The country will be able to produce if redirect the priorities and say that agriculture is true, a very important thing for them. And that is the case, apart from the smaller countries that we have, here we have, in fact, the big areas, countries with big areas like Brazil, Canada, India, Russia, the United States. And in our case, we are cropping with grains around 62 million hectares, we still have quite a few areas that would like to grow food and biofuels in the next few decades, because Brazil decided to bet in agriculture. And when many countries doubt about the future of the food production, myself is not the case. And for Brazil, it's not the case. We are betting that we can do the change that we need in our society, produce food. We have here the example, the clear example. For example, United States, almost 500 million tons that they are producing per year. China, more than 400. India. Brazil, in the last few years, produced around 144 million tons of grains. But as we saw in the previous slide, we have plenty of room, in fact, to grow. And why we think that we are going to do this, to improve the production? Because in the last, let me say, 18 years, the productivity in the Brazil is growing straight away. In the 91-92, we used 38 million hectares to produce 57 million tons of grains. In 2008, we used just 47 million to produce 144. And since that this productivity is increasing, as you see, I hope that by the next 2-3 decades, we still in fact grow in productivity. And one of the reasons that we believe that we go, because we do not stop to invest in research. And why we have, in our case, to be very careful about the biofuels? Because Brazil today is a country that 46% of the energy matrix comes from the renewable source. When you compare to the world, it's just 12.7. When you go to OECD countries, it's just 6.2. And when you go to the United States, just 6.4. Today, only the sugarcane business in Brazil accounts for 16% of our energy needs. And so we have around 50 million cars running in the roads and the streets of Brazil. And you are selling more ethanol in the pump than gasoline. So it's very easy. Let us ask, where could we have, in fact, the money to buy the petrol for these 26 million cars to run in Brazil if we didn't produce the ethanol? And the case that we have is that we increased the area, for example, of sugarcane. Here is the production, not the area. From 1990 to 1207, we increased quite a lot the production of most of the commodities, the food products, the animal products in Brazil. The area, it didn't increase much. So what, in effect, we had was an increasing in productivity. And we have an example. 2 weeks back, the Brazilian government showed, in fact, what it means, the agroecological zoning for the sugarcane production in Brazil. And we decided, in fact, to exclude, for example, the Amazon and the Pantanal areas, because sometimes there is a mistake. And the people say that, no, Brazil is producing sugarcane because you are growing in the Amazon area, so no Amazon, no Pantanal, that's the lowland. And what we had is that's the map of Brazil. The blue and the red is out, so the Amazon, the Pantanal is out. And in the green areas is where we have, in effect, most of our food and the energy production today. That's the savanna areas in the Cerrados. And here I would like to make a point, because in the savanna areas, we are quite close with millions of hectares in Africa, and millions of hectares in Latin America. So probably the technology that we are developing in this region cannot straight away be applied for the other country. But the chance to be adapted is very high. And from this agroecological zone of sugarcane, we have this very easy conclusion that just on the pastry, if we will be able to grow 34.2 million hectares of sugarcane, replacing pasture for sugarcane. And we expect just in the next, let me say, 8 to 10 years, to expand in 7.5 million. So it means less than 1% of the lands available. With one thing that we have to put clear, half of the sugarcane planted in Brazil today, close to half, is for sugar. It's not for ethanol. Let me end to summarize, for the tropical countries, we have some challenges to feed our people with less environment impact, to use the renewable energy source, to develop technology to reincorporate degraded land adapted with adapted varieties, biotechnology and breeding. We are working very hard on the livestock forest agriculture integrated system, in the forest management and technology, and increased in the north-south and south-south collaboration. Here is one wonderful example. Canada is a country that has helped a lot of countries like Brazil throughout the years, and it seems that we can work together for the human being. And the last point that I would like to say is that it's a shame for most of the countries and for most of the government to ask for aid. We have just to work for technology in order to produce the food and to make our society better. Thank you very much.